Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
We're men in tights. We roam around the forest looking for fights.
If there's one common thread, it might be that men perceive church as too feminine.
You know, we have to be aggressive in the world when it's appropriate. We are warriors.
1, 2, 3. Warriors!
We don't need to scale Mount Everest and then gun down a wild boar in order to be a man. You are a real man when you commit to study God's word, when you commit to be obedient to what God says, and you commit to being conformed and transformed day by day into the image of Jesus Christ by loving your wife and leading your family.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio. It is Witness Wednesday. We are at Georgia Tech.
Excuse me. Young man, could I? Yes, sir.
Yikes.
How old do I look to you? Do I deserve a sir?
Sure.
You must be from the cell.
Yes, I am.
All right, then it's a formality. You don't really mean it, you just say it, right?
Yeah.
You got your knuckles beat as a kid if you didn't. All right, I want to talk to you on the radio for a second, all right? You can keep walking if you want to. Are you from the Bible Belt here?
I am.
Are you a Bible Belter?
I am.
What is that? What is a Bible Belter person?
I think it's like someone who like grew up in like a real Christian atmosphere. For the most part.
A real Christian versus a phony one?
No, like in a Christian family, basically.
Mm-hmm. So you grew up in a Christian family?
I did, yeah.
All right, so I'm going to make an accusation. That's the only reason you're a Christian. You grew up in a Christian family. If you grew up in Bangladesh, you'd be a Hindu.
Not necessarily. I think it depends a lot on your family, and then as you get older, more so your beliefs yourself.
Mm-hmm. So what do you believe, young man?
I believe in like Jesus, and I'm a Christian and stuff. And I think that a lot of times religion is played a more important role, and I think relationship should. So, like, your relationship with God.
Okay, how do I get a relationship with God? Because I got to tell you, I think I got one. I'm a spiritual kind of guy. I got a relationship with God.
I think that you have to truly accept Jesus into your heart. Like, there's a difference between, like, saying the prayer and just, I'm done, that's it. I think you have to live to what the Bible says.
So I have to be a good person?
Not necessarily. It's not based on deeds. It's like based on truly accepting it for
yourself.
Okay,
you've used the word accept twice.
Yeah.
What does that mean specifically? This is a test. You're going to be graded on this. This is pass or fail. You're either going to get your money's worth on this course or not. What does it mean to accept Jesus?
It means to like bring him into your heart to say that you died for me.
Bring him into my heart.
Right.
I have no idea what that means.
It means like to say that I'm going to give, you gave yourself up for me, so I'm going to give myself up to you. I'm going to do your work in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And his work could be, like, telling other people about Christ, or it could be...
Why would I want to tell other people about him?
So they can be saved and go to heaven.
So you're inferring that people who aren't saved are going to hell?
I am.
Well, that was pretty straightforward.
Yes.
Alrighty. Let's get back to this accept Jesus business, because I want him to come into my heart. Why do I want him there?
Because I think that the heart is where your soul is at. I think that the flesh is just for now, and the soul lasts forever.
What denomination did you grow up in?
I'm a Baptist.
Southern Baptist.
Right.
I could tell. Okay. So when you accepted Jesus, how old were you?
I was 11.
And why did you do that?
Mostly because my Christian family. But as I get older, I realized that it was important for me, myself.
Why?
To go to heaven. And because I don't want to be tortured forever in hell.
So that's it. This is a get-out-of-hell-free card.
No, not really. I think that it's the right thing to do. Because I think that the morals in Christianity play along with what I believe. And I think that because Jesus died for me, I think that I should love him back with everything I have.
Okay, so I'm going to summarize what you just told me. I'm a stranger. I think that I like the idea of going to heaven, although frankly I don't know why I'd be going to hell. I'm a pretty good person, right?
Right.
Yeah. So I accept him and he comes into my heart.
Uh-huh.
I have to tell you I'm a little confused.
Well, I think accepting him isn't just the prayer, like people say.
Okay, but wait a second. Furthermore, mm-hmm. Okay, here's what I'm thinking about. Let's say that that a police officer is on the campus here,
mm-hmm.
and he nabs me and says, you are a guilty criminal, and you're going to jail.
Mm-hmm.
And I, do I need to accept him?
I think that he says, he has the authority, being a police officer, that you have to do what he says.
Mm-hmm. Whether I accept him or not.
Right. I think just because he's a police officer, and he's respected within this community as being...
Okay, let's try this analogy. It might be better. I think the last one flopped. Let me try this one. We would both agree that President Barack Obama is the president,
right?
Is he the president because I've accepted him or the president because he is?
Because you've accepted him, because government requires legitimacy.
Yeah, but he is, whether I accept him or not.
Yes, but I think that if people don't accept him, his presidency role means nothing.
Right. Well, it still means something because he still is. He has the authority. He has the power.
Yeah.
And I don't need to accept him. He is an authority over me, period. And he doesn't need my approval or my acceptance. He just is the president.
Right. But I think as an individual, that's possible. But if I think the whole United States
We're talking individual.
Okay. Then, I agree with you.
Now, I'm trying to use that parallel. Wouldn't the same thing be true of God? Why does he need me to accept him? It sort of puts me in the driver's seat like I'm the hotshot.
Because he gave us free will. For his glory. He said, basically, it said, instead of making you love me, I'm going to give you the choice.
I understand, but I'm talking about this word accept.
Okay.
All right? Here's another analogy. Let's try this one. Let's give this a go. Somewhere, where are you, what state are you from?
Georgia.
Okay, Georgia.
Yeah.
You know of a big fancy country club around here?
Augusta.
That's where they play the Masters, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's say that I walk up to the Masters Country Club. Mm-hmm. And I pull up with my golf clubs, and I knock on the gate, and I tell them to open the doors because I've accepted them. Mm-hmm. Are they going to let me in?
I don't think so. I think...
Because I don't accept the club. The club has to accept me.
Right.
Why do I have to accept God? Doesn't God have to accept me?
God already accepted you. He accepts everybody.
So everybody's going to heaven?
No, you have to accept him back. There's a difference between a one-way relationship and a two-way relationship.
But I still don't understand why he needs my acceptance. Dude, I'm drilling you on this word, all right?
Okay.
And I'm guessing you and I agree.
Yeah.
I happen to be a Christian.
Yeah.
Okay? The word accept is really risky, all right?
It is.
Imagine this. I come up behind you, instead of with a microphone in front of you, I come up behind you with a gun to your head, and I say, give me your backpack, or you're going to die. Would you accept me?
Yeah.
No, you'd obey me.
Yeah.
You'd submit, you'd surrender to my will. You don't accept. You surrender. And the same thing is true in conversion. It's not about accepting Jesus as if he's up there waiting for somebody to vote for him as opposed to Buddha or Allah. The biblical word, and you haven't used it yet, and I'd encourage you to maybe start using this word, is repent.
Mm-hmm.
You don't accept Jesus. You need to surrender to Jesus. You need to say you're sorry. You need to turn from your sins, forsake your sins, and put your trust in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We've kind of used that word accept to kind of cover all of that.
Yeah.
But I was kind of playing the dope. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. You know what it means, but I'm kind of messed up on the whole thing, and it makes it sound like I'm in charge and Jesus isn't. Like I can vote for him or not. It's up to me to accept him or not.
Right.
And the issue is his acceptance of us, and his clear command in Scripture is you must repent and put your trust in Jesus Christ. Mark 1:15, he came to proclaim the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. So the language maybe we should be using is repent. All right, so you've repented and you put your trust in Jesus. When you were 11 years old, before puberty, you understood all that you'd have to surrender.
No.
But you do now.
I do now.
And you're living for the Lord?
I am.
Okay, so I got all your friends together. They would say the number one affection in your life is?
Jesus.
For sure.
Yes, sir.
All right. You reading your Bible every day?
I am.
Rock on. Nice chatting with you, young
man.
Thank you. See ya. Goodbye. Hey, hold on. Slow down. I'm out of shape. Where are you walking right now? To the physics building. Can I talk to you while you're walking on the radio?
I guess I'm sure. Are you
studying physics?
Yes, sir.
All right, let me ask you, what are you wearing around your neck?
This is a cartouche of my name in hieroglyphics.
It's a what?
A cartouche. It's my name in the hieroglyphics.
Really? What is your name in hieroglyphics?
Well, I mean, I don't know how to pronounce it. I don't know the pronunciation, but...
Why hieroglyphics?
I just like the Egyptian culture.
Is it a religious thing?
Not a religious thing, just a cultural appreciation.
All right, and there's a tooth of some sort?
Oh, yeah, so this is a mask. It kind of wore off. When I visited South Africa, I just bought this.
And what does it represent?
It's a warrior mask.
All right, you just like it.
Yeah, I just like the way it looks.
It's jewelry.
Yeah.
All right, and hold on, you got to stop for me. What is this? Your shirt has got... What exactly is going on? There's like crosses on it.
Yeah.
Different types of crosses. I don't know what they are, but they're different crosses, kind of scary faces. What's that about?
Yeah, when I saw it in the store, it just kind of grabbed my attention. I just bought it.
It spoke to you.
Yeah, I guess so.
All right, are you a Christian?
I don't really belong to a particular religious denomination. I can appreciate aspects of all religions, I guess you could say that.
Which one do you think is right?
I don't think anyone is right in particular.
So they're all right?
Not they're all right. I think they're all incomplete.
Really?
Yeah.
Christianity, how is it incomplete?
I mean, you can't claim that you know everything about God or that you can prove.
I agree with that.
So, I mean, they might have certain aspects that are helpful as far as, living your life in a good way, but
But how is Christianity incomplete?
How is it incomplete? I mean, just as any other religion would be incomplete. They don't know everything about God.
Well, if we did, we would be God. But we can know everything that he's revealed to us, correct?
Maybe. Yeah, it depends on your perception of God.
Okay. So Christianity, which is kind of what you're modeling on your shirt right there, what does it teach about God?
What does Christianity teach about God? I'm probably not the right person to ask. I don't study the Bible too much in depth.
But you just told me it's not complete.
I still don't think it's complete. I haven't studied everything.
But you haven't read it.
I'm coming from a more of an overall point of view. I'm saying that no religion can sit there and...
But how do you know you haven't studied it?
I don't think
if I were your physics professor, I'd be getting my red pen out right now. All right, let's give this a go. Okay. All right, this is what Christianity teaches. Christianity teaches that every other religion is wrong. Let's start there.
Okay, if they teach that, then I don't agree that they should be doing that.
Okay, but what if it's correct?
If Christianity is correct?
Yeah, and everything else is wrong.
I don't know what I could do about that if they were correct. I don't know what I could do about that.
Well, that's the claim of Christianity. It's right. Everything else is wrong.
Hey, that's one person's opinion. That doesn't bother me.
But it's either true or false.
It's either true or false. Well, you're talking about whether Christianity is correct or incorrect?
Yeah.
It's hard to speak about that when you talk about, you're speaking about opinions.
We're at Georgia Tech. I am here with...
Chris,
whose name comes from... Christ, that's right, dude. And we're going to be talking more about him in just a moment on Wretched Radio.
No retreat. That's the name of Fortis Institute's Spring Match campaign, and we chose that name for a reason. The church has been quietly backing up for years. A doctrine gets a little uncomfortable, a truth sounds a little too exclusive, so we set it aside. And before long, the gospel sounds more like an apology than an announcement. Fortis Institute is determined to push the other direction, to encourage churches to hold fast to hard truth and to proclaim the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ rightly and loudly. That's why we're inviting you to join us on the No Retreat Spring Match campaign. Right now, through the end of May, every dollar you give is matched, dollar for dollar, and your gift will help launch two new podcasts, publish Todd Frill's new book, Go Serve Your King, through HarperCollins, and fund gospel proclamation on college campuses. Campuses. The gospel doesn't move backward, and neither should we. You can find out more right now at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
Be honest, when's the last time you shared the gospel with a stranger? Not posted something online, not liked a Christian meme, but actually opened your mouth and told someone about Jesus. If your stomach tightened just a little bit, you're not alone. Most Christians would rather do almost anything than evangelize. It's terrifying. What if they get mad? What if I say something wrong? What if they ask me a question I can't answer? Our resource, Terrified Too, it exists because Jesus gave us the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion, and he actually gave us the tools to obey it. And this resource will walk you through how to share the gospel with strangers, even family members, without needing Pepto-Bismol to get through it. You'll still be nervous, that's normal, but you'll also be equipped, and equipped beats terrified every single time. Terrified 2, it is streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. Download the app right now on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or head to fortisplus.org.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Apostle of our Confession. An apostle is one who is sent. Jesus is the one sent from the Father, and empowered by the Holy Spirit to deliver the gospel in which all Christians confess their belief. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio. We're at Georgia Tech. It's a beautiful day walking with a physics student. Have you thought of one thing you can teach me about physics that I could use today?
That you could use today?
Something. Hooking up my TV, making my cable work better, my stereo, my house air conditioning, anything that could help me.
What if I could tell you one thing? Let's say if the universe were to end now, if the sun were to just go out,
yeah,
we wouldn't know for about 8 minutes. So you'd have 8 minutes of bliss before you just completely die.
Not if I knew about it. Okay, Jesus said that because he is God himself, and the only way that you can go to heaven is through him because of what he's done. Mm-hmm. That's what Christianity teaches. All the other systems teach you got to work your way there. Jesus says, nope, you got to be forgiven in order to go to heaven.
Yeah, I even remember when I was raised Christian when I was younger, and I remember sitting in a Sunday school. And we brought that issue up, you know, that, you know, what about the other religions, you know, if they, you know, have slightly different beliefs, or they don't think that they have, you know, get to heaven through Jesus Christ directly, you know, what happens to them? You know, she kind of just stated directly that, well, yeah, they can go to hell. That kind of like angered me.
Here's, you know what, I understand that, but I want to reason with you for a minute, okay? Here's why everybody, this is going to be a little bold for you,
okay.
Right?
Okay.
This is why everybody should go to hell. Ready? Everybody in the entire planet should go to hell. Here's why. Because they're lawbreakers. They've broken the rules of the king. For instance, the Ten Commandments. For instance, lying, stealing, lusting, blasphemy. Everybody has broken those laws. They are criminals for breaking the laws, and the just judge must give them what they have earned for themselves, and that is eternal punishment. That is why everybody should go to hell. More specific, would you agree that everybody on the entire planet has broken the Ten Commandments?
It'd probably be safe to say that everybody.
I think so. Okay, so let me hone it in a little bit, Chris. Specifically, have you broken the Ten Commandments?
Let's see. I know probably which one of them.
Let's start with lying.
Yeah.
Honor thy father and mother.
I've lied before. So yeah. I guess that's one.
And you dishonored your parents by lying.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're a guy, so I presume you've lusted.
Yes, yes.
Which Jesus said is adultery of the heart, because God sees beyond our actions and he looks at what we do and what we think. Everything that goes on inside of our brain, he has access to. So lusting, you're nabbed, okay? Blasphemy, that's when you use God's name in a bad way. Have you committed that crime?
Probably done that before, yeah.
Okay, so forget the world for a minute.
Okay.
You die, you stand before the perfect judge who doesn't overlook crimes. Okay. Would you be innocent or guilty?
I mean, according to those rules, I guess I'd be guilty.
That's right. You would. So what should a just judge do with a guilty criminal when, on a cosmic scale, should he take you to heaven or should he send you to hell?
Well, I mean, I guess based on that, I'd have to serve my time, right? Like, if I'm guilty, then I'd have to do my time.
Yeah, that's right.
Things go.
And that's bad news, isn't it?
Yeah, that is pretty bad news. I hope that they claim that it's eternal punishment, huh?
That's right.
I guess that'd be pretty
And the
bad.
Reason is it's because it's a crime against an eternally perfect and an infinitely perfect God. How fast is a light second?
A light second?
Dude, I know this.
I mean, these are trivial facts, not things that I use every day.
You're studying physics. Don't you need this?
I mean, yeah, these are things that you can look up in a reference table. These aren't things that require you to think in depth about solving problems.
Okay, but isn't it kind of nice to have some of these basics right at your fingertips?
Yeah, maybe.
All right. It's big. It's very... If it's 100,000 light years wide, do you know how many galaxies there are similar to the Milky Way galaxy?
Too many to count.
A billion.
Yeah.
So it's just... It's unbelievable. And there's a billion stars in our galaxy, so there's a billion stars. It's just huge. And the Bible says that God measures the universe with the span of his hand. Because he's huge. Because he's infinite. He's above it all. So to him, this is a drop in the bucket. It helps us to understand how huge he is. So if that's the God that you have to face on Judgment Day, he's huge. No lawyer, no judge, you, God. All right? He's seen your thought life. He's seen everything you've done, everything you failed to do. Like, thank him for your food. Thank him for parents. Thank him for the education. Thank him for the air that you're taking from him, because it's his air. So you're stealing his air and not saying thank you.
Okay.
He judges you. You'd be guilty. Imagine the wrath of that God. Horrifying thought.
Yeah, I guess that'd be pretty scary.
All right. Now, you've got crosses on your T-shirt here. That is a major symbol in Christianity, and it is humongous good news for a guy like you. What is the meaning of the cross?
I mean, from history's point of view, I know that Jesus was crucified on the cross. That's where he was, you know, convicted and killed.
That's right.
So, I mean, that represents, like, it's his sacrifice for all the people who follow him.
His sacrifice for our sins.
Oh, yeah, for sins, yeah.
It was a sin offering for you.
Mm-hmm.
All the crimes you've committed put on Jesus. He took your punishment so that his goodness, because he kept all the laws you've broken, his goodness can be credited to your account. So when you die, God could see you as good, in fact, even as righteous because of what Jesus did, because your badness was put on him, his goodness given to you. That's what the cross is about.
Okay.
That's the good news, and that's why he's the only way. Because if you die a Buddhist or you die a Hindu and you don't have that forgiveness from Jesus, God must give you what you deserve, and that is his punishment. He's got to do it. He's got to be just. That's why he sacrificed the Son. He can't just turn a blind eye to justice and go, well, boys will be boys. Let's just let them go. No, he's got to be just, but he's loving. So he sent his Son, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life, justice satisfied, kindness demonstrated to you. And therefore, Jesus can make the claim, I am the way, the truth, the life. Nobody can get to the Father because nobody's perfect, but through me and what I've done. That's the good news of the gospel, and that's why it's exclusive.
I always wonder, so what makes Christianity more correct than, you know, any other religion? And as far as Islam, you know, why can't they praise Allah and still be just as fine? Maybe their beliefs, you know, in heaven and hell are different. So, you know,
this will be a really bad analogy, okay, but work with me a little bit on this. You don't have kids, do you?
No, I don't have kids.
All right, imagine that you had some children.
Okay.
And you, when they were little, you changed their diapers, mm-hmm, you cleaned them up, you gave them bottles, you fed them, you burped them, you did everything kind. Mm-hmm. They grew up, you paid for all their food and all their clothes, and you showed them kindness, and you took them to the park, and you gave them an education.
Okay.
And they gave all their affection to the next door neighbor. How would you feel?
I guess, yeah, that would hurt.
It would hurt, and here's what makes it doubly bad with God. There is no next-door neighbor. They don't actually exist. So they're actually giving their affections to what God calls an idol because they don't exist. So they're actually giving their affection, their dedication, and their devotion to something that isn't even real. And it makes him mad because he deserves it. Because after all, if he made you, it's fair, Chris, that he should have rights to you. I mean, he's given you everything. He owns you. It's fair that he should get praise from you, right? So the other world systems, and here's the difference. This is, okay, we're standing on some squares here. Imagine in this square on the concrete. Okay, let's put Islam in there,
okay,
and let's put Buddhism,
okay,
and Hinduism and Mormonism and Jehovah's Witness and Roman Catholicism,
okay,
and Oprah Winfrey and New Ageism and anything else you want in there.
Okay.
And here's what they all teach. They say, try to be a good guy, Chris. And overall, if you're a good guy, when you die, you'll either be reincarnated to a better place, you'll be with 70 virgins, you'll become connected to the great big nothingness. It'll be better if you're good overall.
Okay.
Right? Jesus is in that box over there. And he says, you can't do anything good. All you've done is bad. You've broken all of my laws. In fact, you've hated me your entire life. And I'm going to give you exactly what you deserve, and that is my wrath and punishment. But I'm good, and I'm rich in mercy, and I will save you because I died on a cross, taking the punishment that you deserve, so that if you'll respond to what I've done for you in repentance, which means to agree with God you're not good, to say, I'm sorry, God, I have sinned against you, and against you only have I sinned, and you turn from your sins, doesn't mean you become perfect, but you don't like the lusting and the lying and the cheating anymore. And you put your trust in him and him alone, forsaking any other idols or concepts of God, he says, I will forgive you completely, and I will take you to heaven, not based on what you've done, like these religious systems say, but based on what I've done. Because you see, if these systems are true, then you can praise yourself. You know what I did to get reincarnated? You know what I did to go to heaven? I did these good things. Jesus says, no, you've done bad, but I've done good, and therefore you can praise me because I've done everything for you. So if Jesus is right, all of these systems must be wrong because they contradict each other completely.
Okay.
This is work righteous. That is by grace alone, through faith alone, and Jesus alone. See, this one's got the bad news front loaded here. Okay? It says you're not good, you're in big trouble, you're desperately wicked, and you need a Savior. And if you'll admit that, that's the tough pill to swallow. I haven't been good, I've been bad. And Jesus says, if you have a childlike heart, and admit and come to him, not pleading your own case and making excuses, I'll save you and I'll adopt you and I will make you my child and I will take you to heaven so that I can be praised for all of eternity for saving a sinner like Chris. So tough news up front, but really great news if you're willing to admit that you're a sinner. These, you better start working really, really hard to make up for all the lying, lusting, and cheating you've done. Okay? So you should figure out which system is true. That's the big thing, because it doesn't even matter what I say, Chris, because I could be on crack. I mean, I could be really a dope, and I don't have any idea what I'm talking about. Okay. You should figure out what's true, because Jesus made the claim, I am the truth. So either he is or he isn't. Fair enough?
Yeah, I'll take a look.
Hey, you're a gentleman. Hey, I'm glad we bumped into each other. All right, Chris?
It was good talking to you.
Hey, see you, man.
All right, take care.
Study on. See you. Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Congress is finally turning up the heat on Planned Parenthood. Tennessee Republican Tim Burchett and Arizona's Andy Biggs have written 11 Planned Parenthood affiliates demanding to know whether the nation's largest abortion provider has been spending your tax dollars on abortion and so-called gender-affirming care for minors. Federal law forbids both. The group pulled in roughly $800 million in a single year, and lawmakers say it stonewalled them for nearly a year. Their own report shows cross-sex hormones handed out with little or no medical evaluation. The funding was cut for 1 year under the One Big Beautiful Bill, but it switches right back this 4th of July. Nothing says Independence Day like refunding the abortion industry. In Colorado, the legislature just sent Governor Jared Polis a bill forcing every university in the state, public and private, to hand out abortion pills on campus. One pro-life OBGYN points out that student health centers were built for primary care, not for a procedure that often needs surgical follow-up. One analysis found nearly 11% of women suffer sepsis, hemorrhaging, or other serious harm from these drugs. Colorado's calling it access. In Canada, 84-year-old Miriam Lancaster woke up with severe back pain and was rushed to a Vancouver hospital. The first thing she remembers a doctor saying wasn't a diagnosis. It was, "I would like to offer you MAID." That's Canada's assisted suicide program. The real problem, a tiny crack in her spine. 3 weeks of bed rest later, she was riding horses on a volcano in Guatemala. The war on parents rolls on in California, where the state sees the teenage daughter of Alexandra Lyashkino, I hope I said that right, who's an Orthodox Christian and Ukrainian immigrant, for refusing to consent to her daughter's transition. Now the state is wanting to put the girl up for adoption, and the family has fled to Florida to protect their younger son. And California's term that they're using here, not just for this parent, but for all parents who won't sterilize their child, they're culturally unfit. Meanwhile, the University of Portland, a Catholic school, has spent 6 years employing a lesbian pastor named Brandy Daniels to teach queer theology. She tells students the Bible's passages on homosexuality shouldn't be taken literally. And she has an upcoming book titled How Not to Be a Christian. At least the title's honest, isn't it? And in Homeland Security, new Secretary Mark Wayne Mullen, a former Oklahoma senator, is cleaning house. He's fired officials tied to former Secretary Kristi Noem, paused over $1 billion in detention spending, and pulled ICE back from the big splashy raids the White House felt were costing public support. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content, both of which you can do at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. The Apostle Peter wrote to the elect exiles who were facing persecution for the sake of Christ. Peter exhorted them to trust God and to continue living godly lives. He reminds them of their hope in Christ and their high calling. When you want to learn joyful obedience, no matter what your circumstances, look to 1 Peter. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You guys were over there not too long ago, am I correct?
Yeah.
Talking to a girl named, it began with an R. What was her name?
Priya.
Priya.
Yeah.
Was that the first time you had met her?
No.
You met her before?
Yeah. I met Priya before. I wasn't over there with him, but...
You were a different guy.
I was with another friend.
You were with okay, yeah. I'm sorry. So you're a different guy. You can walk at the same time.
All right.
Okay. I might be wrong about this, so you correct me if I'm wrong. Looks like you were kind of interested in Priya.
No, we're just friends. I mean,
dude,
I've known her for like 2-3 years now.
Yeah, so you're not interested in girlfriend, boyfriend type of thing?
I mean, not with her relationship-wise, no.
Just friends. Okay, because I kind of got that impression from you two guys, the way you were talking, like maybe there was a chance.
No, not right now.
Cool. Dude, where are you from?
I'm originally from Pakistan.
Pakistan. Yeah. Tell me, it seems to that the are there two big religions in Pakistan?
Mostly Islam, and then there's Hinduism there, but it's mostly Islam.
Mostly, so you must be a Muslim.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know why, but you don't look like a Muslim to me. You're dressing kind of hip and cool. You're a hip Muslim.
Yeah, you can be hip and be Muslim.
All right, I just asked this Christian guy back here that I was talking to how to get to heaven. All right, you're a Muslim. Quickly, how do I get to heaven? I want to go real bad. I'm scared to die. Go.
Just basically, you have to believe in God and confess your belief for Him.
So let's say that I believe that that big thing there, whatever that statue is, that's my God. I believe in Him. Am I good to go?
No.
It has to be the right God.
Yeah, but
who's the right God?
You don't know until you're dead.
So you don't know that Allah is the true God?
Well, I do, but I can't really, in 1 second convince anyone else of that.
All right. So is He the true God for me too?
My belief, yeah.
All right. Thanks very much, dude. Uh-huh. Appreciate it. Wish more Christians would talk like that. There are 4 young men. Oh, this is going to be tricky. But we're going to give it a go anyway. Hey, guys, I got to talk to you on the radio just for a minute. Are you going to class right now?
Yeah.
That's what you're doing. What?
Yeah, we're a jerking crew.
I don't know what that means.
We dance.
I wouldn't know.
All the time.
You dance.
Yes.
You guys are like, are you like on drugs? What are you on, crack?
No, what?
You're just all like, you're all just wound up like you've had too much caffeine.
I'm a man who worries about my life, and I don't infest myself with those drugs.
Yeah, okay, but why do you all have such a good smile on your? Honestly, why you're all like?
Yeah, because it's a good day.
We just came from work.
We just have fun. We got our paychecks.
Yep. All right. Wait a second. What's this on your front? Who's that on your front there?
It's a picture of Jesus.
Oh, and it says what?
Rebel since birth.
What does that mean?
He don't know.
Yeah.
Oh no.
I don't know. Hey,
you're just wearing the shirt.
I just like the colors.
You gotta be different. You know what I'm saying? Jesus was different. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He lives like different on a different status. You hear me?
Wait a second. Are you a Christian?
Yeah.
Okay. So is that what it means to be a Christian? You're just supposed to be different?
No. Is you supposed to stand out? You supposed to be different? You supposed to lead people in the Word?
Okay. Lead me in the Word. Go.
You know what I'm saying? Well, I don't.
I want to become a Christian. Help me.
All right. So to become a Christian, it's like, I mean, there's no really any distinctive way. You just got to learn your difference, and you got to be, show your strengths. If you got to be a leader, you know what I'm saying? You got to step out. You got to show somebody.
Okay, I have no idea what you're talking about. I want to become a Christian right now. Okay, you've got the Jesus shirt. I want to be. You're a Catholic.
I feel that women are just as important as guys are in this world. Except,
and I want to become a Christian. Help me.
I think you should be a Catholic, honestly.
What's the difference?
There is no difference.
There is. Catholics believe in Mary more than Christians do.
Mary?
Yeah.
How do I get to heaven, Catholic?
You just do kind deeds. All I can say is be the best person. Best person you can be.
Wait, you have to pay money?
You have to give the money to church.
Don't listen to that. Yeah. That was a bad
thing. You got to be the best person you can be physically.
Okay, wait a second. Wait a minute. What are you?
I am Christian.
Oh. All right. And you're a Christian, right? Yeah. And you are a?
Christian.
And you're a Catholic.
Catholic.
Okay.
Are you really Catholic?
Okay, so make...
I was raised by women, and that's how I was taught.
I was raised by women, too, but we're not Catholic.
All right. Okay, wait a second. Okay, we're all Christians over here, and you're a Catholic, okay? Convert us to Catholicism. You got 30 seconds. Go.
You guys should like women just as much as I do.
I'm guessing that's not a problem, but I don't know that that's the issue here. Okay.
Women are just as important, just as big of a role as guys are, except we all have different jobs, dude. But the jobs they do are just as important as ours.
All right, I want to ask each of you a question, all right? Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
I would.
Yeah, what about you, rebel since birth? Are you a good person?
Yes, I am.
All right, Christian, are you a good person?
Yeah.
Now, what are you listening to in your ears?
Something.
Oh,
I'm listening to Unstoppable.
I don't know what is it. Is that bad music?
It's good music.
Dirty music?
No.
Sexual?
No.
Any swearing in there?
Yeah. But I wouldn't consider. I don't consider cursing like a bad thing.
All right.
It's just
a good thing.
It's the public's view of cussing, just like it's the public's view on gays. Like that's it. You just find it acceptable. Okay.
All right. Are you a good person?
I honestly think I'm a good person.
Yeah, you do. Are you a good person, young man?
I think I'm a good person.
All right. Okay, you guys. I want to. Hey, especially you. Come here. I want to test you. I'm going to give you a test now. You ready? Are you all going to school here?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to give you a test. Sorry, but you don't have to turn it in. You're not going to be graded, but it's free. Okay. How many lies do you think you've told in your lifetime?
Over 5,000.
Over 5,000. A lot. Everybody, you're not going to lie this time. Okay. Yeah,
everybody lies.
Have you lied?
Huh?
Have you told lies?
Yeah.
Yeah. And?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yes? Yeah. Yes? Yes? You have to. Yeah, okay. Now, if I told lies, what would you call me? What name would I get? If I tell lies, I am a?
A human.
A human who?
Lies.
That's right. So would it be fair for me to say, you're a liar, you're a liar, you're a liar, you're a liar, you're all liars? Is that right?
Everybody lies. So you.
I agree.
Because nobody could say that.
Okay, but everybody who gets pulled before the judge who's guilty, just because everybody else breaks the law doesn't mean they're innocent. Okay, how many things have you stolen in your lifetime? Doesn't have to be from a store. It can be from your parents, at a house, from a friend.
I'd say 5 things.
All right.
Yeah, probably 5.
5 things?
I mean, I'd say gum.
Doesn't matter the size of the object, you just took it.
I mean, a couple of things. I don't know.
All right, but you only have to steal one thing, and that would make you a
stealer.
A thief. That's right. Okay, hold on. This is going to get a little trickier, and don't get all goofy on me. Jesus said, if you look at a woman with lust, you know what I'm talking about, you've committed adultery in your heart. All right?
I think everybody's doing that in their lifetime. I do it a lot. I did today, for example.
All right. And young man?
Yeah, I just did it.
Uh-huh. And you just did? Is that the rumor?
No, I didn't just did.
Okay, fine. And have you ever done that?
Yeah.
Yeah? And you've done that?
Yeah.
All right. You?
Yeah.
And you have done? Okay. Here's the summary. You just told me that you're good people, but I just asked you a few questions, and you confessed to me that you're liars, you're thieves, and you're adulterers at heart. That does not sound like a good person to me. Here's the next question.
Morally, I'm a good person.
No, you're not a good person. You're a liar, you're a thief, and you're an adulterer, right?
Yeah.
Right? It makes you immoral, right? You only have to do something once, and you're a criminal. Okay, so now here's the big question. Let's say you died. I know you're young, and that's a really far-off thought. But let's say you died, and God opened up the books on your life. He even sees your thought life. Would you be found innocent or guilty?
Guilty.
Innocent or guilty, young man?
Innocent because...
You just confessed to me.
No.
You broke the laws.
No, because everybody in America, so...
It doesn't matter.
Everybody does it.
Yeah, so I agree, but that's irrelevant.
Nobody's going to be in heaven. So,
that's a different thought, but right, that could be.
Guilty.
But what about you? You'd be guilty.
I'd be guilty, but everybody's
innocent.
I'd probably be guilty.
Not probably, definitely.
No. Yeah, I'd be guilty.
Right, young man?
Unless I repent.
Young man?
I'd be guilty.
You'd be guilty?
I'd probably be guilty, but if everybody's...
He'd be guilty. I'd be guilty, too.
All right, and young man?
You'd
be innocent or guilty?
I'm guilty.
All right. No fifth pleading. It doesn't make any difference because God knows everything anyway. So it doesn't matter what you say in your defense.
Shout out to say glitch. That's what we do.
I don't know what that means, but you're young. If you're guilty before God, should He send you to heaven or should He send you to hell?
I would believe in hell.
It doesn't matter what you believe. It's like a criminal says, I don't believe in jail. It's irrelevant. The judge pounds the gavel and says, you're guilty, off to jail with you. All right. Would you go to heaven or hell?
I think, you know, like, if I'm really honestly truly sorry for what I did, then
that's not the question. Should you go to heaven or hell?
I don't want to answer that question.
Fair enough.
Because I feel like we haven't had all of the time to, you know, really finish our lives.
Oh, you guys are killing me here. You're killing me with this. All right, you're a Christian, right? You guys are all Christian?
In my ear, I probably should go to hell.
Well, you definitely should go.
I mean, if you're just going to say it like that, I really don't want to go.
I don't either, and I don't want you to go either.
I guess I'll see everybody else down there with me, so...
But it's not going to be a kegger. You're not just going to be having a party.
I know, but we're going to be punished together, so that makes it better.
It doesn't help at all.
It makes it feel better.
You ever go to the dentist? You got nice teeth. You been to the dentist?
I've been.
Yeah, you ever had your teeth drilled on?
Yeah.
Does it make you feel better that somebody else is getting their teeth drilled on, too?
No.
No! And hell's not going to become better just because other people are suffering.
Man, what?
All right, you guys, this is so important. One of you guys, especially you with the Jesus on your chest, should say, wait a second, you're right, skinny guy. I should go to hell. But Jesus, who is God, came to this earth to die on a cross to take the punishment that I deserve, so that if I repent and put my trust in Jesus...
I've been trying to say, but you're going to interrupt me. And then God has mercy on everybody.
That's right.
And like you said, he came here and died for our sins.
10 seconds. Wait, 10 seconds. We'll continue on Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
No retreat. That's the name of Fortis Institute's Spring Match campaign. And here's why. The culture we live in right now has made it pretty clear it has very little interest in the true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're being told to keep our faith quiet in public or to soften what we believe so it goes down easier. Fortis Institute has no intention of doing either one. We exist to advance the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this spring, we're doing it as loudly and as boldly as we know how. Your gift will help launch 2 new podcasts. It puts Todd Frill's new book, Go Serve Your King, into print through HarperCollins. And it puts the gospel back onto college campuses where it's least welcome and most needed. Our goal is $250,000, and we're asking if you would prayerfully consider helping us get there. You can find out more right now at fortisinstitute.org/donate. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a lot of ministries talk to individuals, and that's fine. But somewhere along the way, the local church gets forgotten. And we believe that to be a big problem. Because the local church is the institution that Jesus promised to build. It's not an afterthought. It's the plan. And that's why we exist at Fortis Institute. We exist to strengthen local churches, not replace them. Everything we create, our podcasts, our videos, all of our resources and teaching, it's all designed to be useful to pastors and small group leaders and church members who want to grow. We're not trying to be your church. As a matter of fact, we're always pointing to your local church. And if that mission is something that resonates with you, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Your support helps us create content that equips the saints and strengthens the body of Christ. And we know you have questions about what that would look like in your life, and we've got answers at fortisinstitute.org. Help us be a part of something that serves the local church. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. Remember when the craziest cultural ideas stayed in dystopian novels? Yeah, those days are over. We're living in the brave new world now, and it showed up faster than anyone expected it to. Social media didn't just change how we communicate, it changed how everyone thinks. And if you're not ready as a Christian to defend what you believe about gender and sexuality and race and entertainment and a dozen other hot button issues, you're going to get steamrolled. Wretched Worldview 2 picks up where the first one left off. Todd Frill and Dr. Nathan Busnitz tackled 22 more issues through a biblical lens: critical race theory, modesty, persecution, environmentalism, secular entertainment, and more. The stuff you're actually seeing in the headlines and hearing at your dinner table. Because the Christian worldview is under assault, and I don't know, isn't going to cut it anymore. Wretched Worldview 2 is available in streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. You can download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or simply visit fortisplus.com.
Know your church fathers. Jerome was a 4th century Christian theologian and one of the original 4 doctors of the church. His most important work was the Latin Vulgate, a translation of the scriptures from Hebrew and Greek into Latin, the vernacular of his day. The Vulgate remained the preeminent translation of the Bible for a millennium. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Jesus, where's your shirt? This right here. This is God right there in human form, died for you because you deserve God's wrath. Jesus took the wrath for you so that you can go to heaven. But you've got to repent, which means say you're sorry, turn from your sins, put your trust in Jesus, and then you'll go to heaven based on what he did and not what you did. Because what you've earned for yourself is hell. He earned heaven for
everybody
you.
Everybody else did too.
Everybody else. But you've got to repent and put your trust in him. And so all the talk about being good or being a leader, whatever, it's all irrelevant. You've got to humble yourself like a little child and say you're sorry and put your trust in Him as if your life depended on it, because it does. And then you'll go to heaven based on what He's done. It's the good news of the gospel. Right now, you're condemned sinners. The good news is He's your Savior and He wants to rescue you, but you've got to come clean, say you're sorry, and put your trust in Jesus, and then you'll go to heaven based on what He did, not on what you did. That's the good news of the gospel. Repentance and faith. Here's the question. Have you repented and put your trust in Jesus?
No.
Completely.
No.
All right.
No.
Have you?
Yeah.
You're sure? Why didn't you tell me that before?
Because He did.
I did.
All right. You've got to become like a little child. You've got to be born again, which means you die to yourself, and He'll make you alive. Have you repented and put your trust in Jesus?
I just did right now.
All right. I hope you'll think about it. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You have a good day. The kids these days. There's a fellow walking by me. Let's see if we can chat with him. Excuse me, young man. While you're walking, could I talk to you on the radio? You up for that today?
I don't know.
I'll walk with you. I won't even keep you late for make you late for anything.
All right. What do you need?
Cool. What are you studying here?
Mechanical engineering.
And so when you grow up, you want to be a...
automotive engineer.
Design cars.
Right.
Very cool. Dude, I want to ask you, that's what you want to do for a living. I want to ask you about your spiritual beliefs. What religion, spirituality, if anything, are you?
I don't classify under anything specifically. I believe myself to be spiritual, but not necessarily specific to a religion.
Okay, what does it mean to be spiritual?
Basically, you have an understanding that there's something else going on other than just you
and
the world.
And this. What do you think it is?
I can't really put it into words. It's just something that... it's just how I organize my beliefs.
Okay, what are your beliefs? You're slowing down on me. You're flat out stopped. Okay, so what do you believe? Do you believe that there's a God?
I do.
Who do you think it is?
Well, I believe you can put it in any description you want, any word you want. What's there is there, and you can describe it as God. You can describe it as whatever. I was raised as a within a Christian family. I believe most of that. A lot of what makes a religion organized, I don't believe in, or don't believe that there's that is a necessity of the religion. But that's
okay. I'm gonna try out your thinking. We're looking at a big dumpster, right?
All right.
A big BFI dumpster. Now let's say that I called it turkey jerky. All right?
Okay.
I assigned a different word to it.
Sure.
All right. But the question still remains, well, what is that thing? It's a thing that holds garbage. So I maybe use different words to describe it.
Sure.
But that is either a dumpster or it's not a dumpster, to use nomenclature.
Okay.
So doesn't that also apply to beliefs?
Sure. Absolutely.
So really, what matters really is what's true, not what I assign or ascribe to it.
Okay.
Is that fair?
I agree.
So what do you think truth is?
I don't think you can describe that in a sentence.
Okay, so who do you... you don't think that God is the God of the Bible. Am I getting that correct?
No, I agree with that. But I also... trying to put it into words.
Hmm. So do you believe that Jesus is God?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Okay. So He's God then, right? Or either is or He isn't, correct?
Most of my beliefs stem from Christianity because that's how I was raised. What I add on to that is I don't necessarily believe that being at church every Sunday makes you any better of a Christian or makes you any better of a person.
I'm guessing you're a postmodern. Would that be fair?
I'm not sure.
A postmodern would be somebody, how old are you?
I'm 20.
Okay, about your age, who would believe that especially when it comes to religion, but really everything, to be consistent, all truth is valid truth. Nobody's right, nobody's wrong. You can be a Christian, I can be a Buddhist. You can think that's a dumpster. I can think it's turkey jerky. Neither one of us is wrong. We're all right. It just works for you, and so therefore it's right for you. But my path is right for me, even though they're completely different.
I can agree with that.
Yeah. So you're a postmodern is what you are.
Sure.
Okay. Let me try to challenge you on that.
All right? Okay.
I'm going to go back to the dumpster. All right? Now, if I think that dumpster You know those little bunny rabbits that you get at Easter time?
Yeah.
That are soft and squishy, and they got the sugar on the outside, and they're better when they're stale? You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
If I believe that that is one of those stale Easter bunnies, well, I'd be flat out wrong, wouldn't I?
Okay, yeah.
Right? Now, as a Buddhist, I believe in Buddha, and you believe in Jesus. If Jesus is the true God, then I'd be wrong about Buddha, wouldn't I?
Sometimes, and I don't understand all the religions, but a lot of times what is thought to be as the divine power is split up into multiple gods, or said to be one god, or a thing. And I believe that divine power is there, and no matter how you define it, I believe you're talking about the same thing.
That, I understand that reasoning, but let's see if we're talking about the same thing.
Okay.
Okay. Jesus, as best I understand it, says he is the way, the truth, the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through him. And any other god is an idol. And that's pretty straightforward.
Right.
Buddha would teach that if you try to get rid of all of your desires, all of your longings, and if you die, perhaps, if you've been good, you will be reincarnated into something higher and ultimately become a part of the great big nothingness. Jesus says you get judged when you die and you either go to heaven or hell. Buddha wouldn't believe that Jesus died on a cross 2,000 years ago for your sins. Now, those are so completely, radically different. I can't put those together and say it's just a different perspective because they're so completely contradictory.
Right, and my answer to that would be really what happened 2,000 years ago and what's going to happen after my death, there's no way to say 100%. But I would look at it as you will be in a certain state of mind, and that's what I see that as a representation of. And I believe all religions either believe you'll be in a positive state or a negative state.
All right, I'm gonna try to use your religion to go after that 100% idea and positive state, negative state concept.
Okay.
Fair enough?
Sure.
Okay, so I'm gonna use your background. All right. If you died and you were judged, let's see if we can figure out 100%, 80%, 50% what might happen to you. If God judges you for your thought life, for instance, not the stuff you do, but just your thought life, anger, lusting, fantasies, those, would you be innocent or guilty? Would he find you guilty of being an angry person and a lusting person?
I would hope not. I feel like I usually have positive intentions.
Okay. But even walking around today, if you've seen women that you found attractive, did your brain ever start working in a way that was lustful?
I can't say I'm perfect.
Okay. So he would know that your thought life isn't perfect.
Correct.
So you'd be guilty of being a luster.
Yes.
Okay. And Jesus said that that's like adultery of the heart. Not being married and being unfaithful,
right.
But if you just look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. And the same thing is true about anger. If you've ever flipped somebody off, you've been really torqued at somebody, God sees the intentions of the heart. It's not as bad as the physical act, but he sees you as a murderer at heart. Okay, now that was just the thought life. Let's talk about deeds for a minute. Okay? Have you ever told lies?
Of course.
Okay, so you're guilty on that count. Ever stolen anything?
It's been a while, but I'm sure I have.
Okay, time doesn't make things go away, so you've stolen. So that would make you a...
Make me a sinner.
Specifically a thief.
Yes.
Who steals things,
okay.
Right?
Okay.
All right. Did you ever dishonor your parents as a child?
I'm sure.
Yeah, like the rest of us. Coveted things that didn't belong to you, all right? And maybe I'll leave your sexual life out of it, but if you've ever been a fornicator or you've ever slept around, God sees that act, and because I presume you're not married,
right.
You'd be guilty of those crimes too. All right, so there you are. The books are open. Pretty simple. Sorry. Would you be innocent or guilty, dude?
If there's no tolerance, I would be guilty, absolutely.
Well, tolerance is a bit of a loaded word. The standard is justice. What's right, what's wrong. So you'd be guilty. I think pretty reasonably we can conclude 100% where you're going.
Okay.
Right?
If that's the fate of all people, then I would be there as well.
Yeah, and that's a terrible thought. I hate that thought. Now, here's the problem with Buddhism. It doesn't solve your problem. Islam doesn't solve your problem. Mormonism doesn't solve your problem. Catholicism doesn't solve your problem. Who solved your problem so that you don't have to go to hell? According to you, the beliefs that you grew up in.
Jesus
died on a cross for you.
Right.
Right. For the forgiveness of sins. The punishment you deserve was placed on him so that you could be set free, because Jesus has fulfilled the standard of the law and taken the wrath of the Father on your behalf. That's the good news of the gospel, right?
Right.
Now, that's either true or false. And if it's true, unless you've repented and put your trust in him and him alone and said all the other gods and systems are idols, you'd be judged and go to hell. That's the best news you could possibly have.
Absolutely.
Fair enough? Something to think
Fair
about
enough.
Today? All right. Hey, you're a gentleman. Thanks very much. See you, dude. Goodbye. And until next time, go serve your king.